Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Wednesday. Well, the primary is over in Pennsylvania, which if you're going, wait, I live in Pennsylvania. What primary?
Yeah. they actually kind of did, I think, a switcheroo, as they used to say. I think it was supposed to be later, Bill.
May 2nd, I think. Yeah. I have to look at the calendar, but it was supposed to be early
but
May.
Fortunately, they promoted it and let everybody in the state know that there was a change.
No, they didn't. As a matter of fact, my precinct, I know the lady, the wife of the chief of police, and because I know him very well. And
you not from name that kind dropper, of way. You go ahead.
No, I didn't drop a name.
No,
I know him very well. We were, you know, actually how we got to know each other. Kids in Biddy football before high school football.
Now, I should mention to people unfamiliar with Biddy football that
Pee-wee,
yes. Same thing, you know.
Same thing, yes. Yeah, because I had kids in that at one time. He did, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would work security. I would be up in the booth because we didn't play him out in a field out in the middle of nowhere. We played him in a stadium.
So anyway, his wife is the
president of for the Republican side, but watching over the precinct.
And even she didn't know, Bill, even she was blindsided?
She just got stuff, you know, handed to her days before, and they only knew about 2 weeks in advance, and there was no word out. Nobody got any mailers about to vote for or what.
When I went to vote yesterday, usually there's a line of people to vote, and it was empty. It was empty. Nothing.
Well, I don't know if I'm saying something I shouldn't say, but, you know, I asked about the rolls. You know, they didn't give me any delicate numbers. But what I did see, and she pointed out, the Republican, you know, they're down by 58%. And that doesn't mean of people, because the Republicans don't know. Now, the Democrats are all absentee ballots or mail-in, about 90%. So, you know, that's weirdness number one. Weirdness number two is something you saw and I saw too. Nikki Haley was on the ballot. Why?
Yeah.
She dropped out before this date was ever changed.
Right.
So they knew she should have been off the ballot, but she was on. And therefore, she garnered, you know, 157,000 votes. And, you know, the percentage is not all in, but Trump did win by a landslide. Nearly 800,000 votes.
Bill, here's the thing. People, they knew that Trump is going to be the nominee, like weeks ago, right? So I think that just depresses the vote. People really go to the poll to, at least in my opinion, they go for the presidential election and not for the secondary stuff where you hardly know the candidates. And I think that they figured, well, Trump's already got it, so I don't have to go vote. Again, I saw nobody at the polls when I was there. They were sitting around shooting the breeze, the poll workers, and there was no other person in the polling place. Like I said, usually it's a line of people. And I think people already felt, well, it's wrapped up. Trump has got it. I don't need to vote. And I think that really happened yesterday. I mean, it's just my opinion.
Well, there's another thing. You know who else is not on this ticket?
Who?
Kennedy. Did you see his name anywhere?
I mean, I did not. No, but it's a primary vote, and you only can vote for Republican or Democrat. So,
but why was Nikki on it? Because now, wait a minute. Is Dean Phillips still in the race on the Democratic side?
I believe he. I don't know. I didn't see his. I didn't see his.
I see his name. He did get votes.
He did get votes. Okay. Well, he must have been on it.
They're showing him and his face on it that he was there, but Nikki definitely is not in the running, and she was there. And I'm just sitting there going, "Okay, something not right here." And I think it was all for the optics and the deception. But Trump still kept the numbers close. Yeah, I think Biden pulled in. All total, somewhere around 921,000, nearly a million.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is about 800,000, close to a million. But if you take the Nikki votes in, he would have been ahead of Trump, meaning the Republicans are outweighing the Democrats. not by a landslide, but enough to sit there and say the election's done come November.
You know, Trump has got his hands full right now. They're really doing everything they can to mess with him during this election season. And you know, it's a joke. You see Joe down in Florida. You know, Joe is out there and trying to look like a participatory candidate. And the guy is absolutely lost. For example, yesterday he ended a speech again. Seriously, he ended the speech, turned to his right, and shook hands with nobody. Then he wandered off to his right and then realized there's nobody here and there's no way off the stage in this direction. And he turned around and walked off in the other direction. But again, he shook hands with nobody. This is the leader of the free world, and this is the guy that the Democrats are trying to tell you is he's perfect. He's worthy of another 4 years. The guy is, and he's not drawing the crowds, by the way. I mean, if you saw the picture of him when he stopped into Sheetz,
There's nobody. It was crickets.
Not only that, but the people who were in Sheetz could have cared less. You know, usually when Trump pulls in at an unexpected stop, you know, it's a mob scene. People come from other office buildings and stuff to see the guy. But with Biden, they had a hard time getting somebody to the register to take his order. I mean, it's like, who cares? Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who are Democrats who are going to vote for him no matter what, and that's your prerogative. But I would submit that you should really take a good look at this guy before you make your choice, because he's not all there. But, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene was on a podcast a couple of days ago. She's convinced that the Democrats want to see Trump dead. Listen.
And here's the real truth. I agree with you. I think people are believing a complete conspiracy theory, thinking, oh, we're just going to win this election. Yeah, you're right. He is not invincible. He is a man. He's fighting as hard as possible. He's putting all he has into trying to win the election. But you also got to remember, he's at the same time he's trying to run for president again, he's having to put everything he has into defending himself against these rigged trials and this unbelievable perversion of our justice system. And the Democrats aren't sorry about it. They aren't going to back off of what they are doing. They literally want him dead. Benny Thompson introduced a bill to take away his Secret Service protection. That's how serious they are. They want President Trump dead. They want to lock him up in jail for the rest of his life so that he dies in jail. And they want to take away his Secret Service protection so that he is murdered somewhere in jail, possibly. This is how serious they are. Alex, I just want to tell everybody this before I go. We literally are living in this little bubble of time where people aren't suffering yet. They haven't fully gone broke. People are still able to enjoy their daily lives and their hobbies and their travel and their sports. They're still able to enjoy it. It's expensive. They've definitely gotten squeezed. They have a lot of credit card debt. They don't like the price of groceries, but the middle class can still continue this stuff. But we are just a short time away where that's going to be gone. And Alex, let me tell you something. That's when Americans are going to wake up and go, what the hell happened? What happened? Who did this to us? And that's when it's going to be too late.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she was on with Alex Jones on InfoWars.
Yeah.
And she's right. People still don't hurt enough financially to really know what's going on, but it's going to happen fast. I heard somebody say that our economy is teetering right now. I mean, literally teetering. It's still working, Bill, but it's like balancing, and it could go at any time.
Yeah, now, the Biden, that was something I wanted to talk about, you know, later on in the show about the numbers and everything out there. I got to find the piece of...
Yeah, don't worry. I mean, we can talk about it again later.
Yeah, there's a piece of documentation, but basically what it's saying is, you know, they're touting all these big numbers. I'll give you a precursor here. They're touting all these big numbers, yet there's things that they're not telling you, and a certain goal that they were hoping to hit, they were going to hit to dot the I's and cross the T's. they missed by about 3 points, meaning that actually the economy is failing. And then when you add everything else up, we're about to fall on our tuchus.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what she just said. We're literally hanging by a thread, as they would say.
Well, it's less than a thread. I mean, that
and people don't want to admit it, Bill. They want to say, "Oh, it's good, and we can still buy our food and stuff, and life is great."
No matter how bad it gets, life goes on. Well, you know what? You're exactly right. Life does go on. You know, Trump could lose. He could go to jail. He could die in jail. And the Democrats take over, and taxes go up, and prices go down, and you can't afford a house, and you can't, you know, you can't afford rent. You're living in a tent that you pieced together from old clothes, and you're wearing taggedy stuff.
I got a couple of pieces from I got a couple of pieces from Doug McGregor. He was on with Clayton Morris on his podcast, which is called Redacted News. He does it with his wife.
All right.
And it's a good podcast. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube and on Rumble. And Clayton Morris, in case you don't remember, he was the weekend host for a number of years on Fox Weekends. And he's a talented guy, and he's a conservative. And he was on with Douglas McGregor, who I think is kind of like a semi-regular on his program. And this is only, I believe, a few days ago. And I want to play, I got two pieces. One, the second piece I'm going to play first because it deserves some conversation, and it relates to President Trump and what's going on in the world right now. And I think it's going to kind of surprise you, the listener. So I'm going to play this, and then I think we're going to have a conversation. Listen.
I said I was going to get you out of here a second ago, but I have one more question as it relates to Donald Trump. Of course, you used to work for President Trump. And I was just kind of stunned over the weekend. I thought that, you know, you mentioned 21 Republicans voted against this spending bill to Ukraine. Massive, massive amounts of money. And 21 Republicans said, no, we need to shore up our southern border. We can't do this. President Trump, he's not president, but he could have, as the leader of the Republican Party, come out and said, end this. No more money to Ukraine. This is ridiculous. And as Lindsey Graham said on Sunday's show, this bill would not have passed the House of Representatives with MAGA Mike Johnson had Donald Trump not been supportive of it.
This idea, give up on Ukraine, makes the world safer. If you pull the plug on Ukraine because you don't have enough capability, there goes Taiwan. The Ukrainians are fighting like tigers. This aid package has a loan component to it. This would not have passed without Donald Trump. I want to thank the House Speaker and Akeem Jeffries working together in a bipartisan fashion to give weapons to Ukraine to fight a fight that matters to us. And President Trump has created a loan component to this package that gives us leverage down the road.
What is your assessment? You used to work for President Trump. Could he have, did he fail on this, or was this a great success? I mean, where would you have advised him to come down on this funding for Ukraine and Israel?
Well, if I were working for him right now and he were president, I would have advised him under no circumstances to support the bill and instead focus our attention on the borders of the United States, restoring the rule of law. And if he went ahead and did what he did, which is essentially align himself with the money pigs in Washington who are interested in everything other than the American people, I would have to resign. But I think Mr. Wow. Trump wants desperately to be president. And I think he sees becoming president as a vindication, since he truly believes that he won the last election. And to be quite frank with you, I tend to agree with him. That was not a fair and free election by any stretch of the imagination. And we're not about to have one anytime soon, because all of the same problems that existed back in 2020 still persist today. But I think he wants to be president, and so he is turning to everyone and anyone who has money willing to support him and will promise to do so, whatever they're asking. This is outrageous. I think it's terrible. I think he's made a bad mistake, and I agree with you. He should have stood with the 21 members, because, quite frankly, most of America stands with those 21 members. Now, there were 37 members on the Democrat side who refused to support Israel and the money for Israel. That's another issue. And of course, it's toxic for all of the candidates. None of them want to be in the corner with the party that says Israel should stop killing people in Gaza. Anyone who suggests that is immediately branded as an enemy of Israel.
Right.
So it's a tough time to run for election. But the good news is Americans can look at what's happening right now and they can find out who's really who.
Right.
You know, who is this man, Donald Trump? What did he do? He encouraged Speaker Johnson to do what he did. He congratulates him on doing a good job. This is catastrophically stupid. He's essentially throwing his principles overboard and his supporters under the bus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to read it. I mean, if any of you watching right now are just, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters, and no matter what presents itself, it doesn't matter to you. But this was this rises to the level of coming out and supporting all the COVID vaccines that he did a few weeks ago and praising that. I think there was a lot of MAGA Republicans who said, wait a second, did Trump just praise COVID vaccine? Wait, did I hear that right? And now this weekend, supporting Speaker Johnson, supporting all of this money to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, I just can't wrap my head around it. So I don't know what to make of it, but I was highly disappointed in this. And I think 70% of Americans said they absolutely don't want this. I think you're right. By supporting those 21 Republicans may have been a better, maybe smarter move. It's weird because in the same week, Colonel, he comes out and said we've spent $7 to $9 trillion on boondoggle wars in the Middle East, where we've killed millions of people. And he said, we've got nothing from it. We have blood on our hands. We've got nothing but blood and misery. We should have never supported those wars. And then 4 days later, I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know.
Remember, this is the same man who went on the campaign trail in 2016. And wherever he went, he heard millions of Americans chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. And what happened? He went after Obamacare. So we have to be realistic about this whole business. He's let a lot of people down, I think. I think it will come back to haunt him.
Colonel Douglas McGregor, now some interesting things. As far as the vaccine goes, I have heard in the past Trump comment about how he got the vaccine, the speed of the vaccine. He got it made quickly. I think that he was given a lot of bad information from a lot of people he thought he could rely on. I think he was proud of the fact that he thought he had a healthy vaccine that was being brought to market. And I think on occasion, President Trump confuses the two. I think he was lied to by his medical people, including Fauci. And I think that they brought a inferior vaccine to the marketplace, a dangerous vaccine to the marketplace, and that confuses people. I think if you sat down with President Trump right now, one-on-one, he would tell you that he was disappointed with the product that they came to market with, but he was also the victim of bad information from his people who he thought he could rely on, you know? And the other thing, Bill, is as far as him backing the budget goes, I may have mentioned this yesterday. They had, I heard somebody say that Trump wants the Democrats to wear this budget, meaning he wants them to own it. And the only way they can own the budget is if they pass the budget. Okay? So where you have, I don't trust Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is about as trustworthy as, he's a snake. The guy will say one thing and do another. He will he will go on television and sound like a great conservative, and then he'll screw you, you know? So that's how he works. That being said, I do believe that Trump has figured, okay, the Democrats want this budget. And also, Bill, remember that the money from this budget doesn't directly go to the Ukraine. It literally goes to our arms manufacturers who use that money to replenish our stock, because what the Ukraine got was our older stock sent to them, if that makes sense. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers on this onion. Since I didn't hear that piece of audio prior to the podcast, I'll go back and dissect here. Number one, we go to COVID. Yeah, he got a lot of bad intel. He actually didn't want to do the vaccine at first. You know, he wanted to do, what was it, ivermectin and all the other things that are out there that were poo-pooed by Fauci and everybody else and the Democrats. Oh, you can't do this. Go, no, that doesn't work. That's a horse medicine. And, you know, we went with the vaccine. And there's a lot of layers to that onion, too, the peel back. But we're not talking about that right now. So he went and did the next best thing. He sat there and put together a deal. And based on, you know, face value, he did the right thing. But he didn't know that there was a bigger plan. This whole virus thing was planned. And I think the vaccine was planned, too. And they snookered Trump on that, and they snookered the American public, because how many people got the vaccine that are sitting there going, damn, I wish I had never gotten that damn thing because I was lied to. Yeah, I see a hand raised. And so, you know, there's number one. Number two, you know, with that said, and Trump, you know, he didn't have good intel within the Republican Party then. Just because the election's over, how many Republicans have sat there and said, hey, own it, Trump, you lost the election. You know, they peeled away and said, yeah, it was fair, but yet we all know in our hearts it was not fair. Fast forward to now, all these allegations, everybody knows that all of this stuff is political warfare, and it's all staged. So far he's weathered it. I don't know how he has time to either keep up with everything, stay on top of the topics, go out and do the rallies, and sit there and go to all the trials that are being thrown at him. But yet he does. But he, you know, are there still people that might still be in his midst that are really not what they pretend to be?
Absolutely.
I do think so.
Yeah.
No, with all of that said, you know, and even Marjorie kind of said that, you know, he's just a man, you know. He may go to jail today or tomorrow, not rightfully so, but he may. Now, how are you going to do? Are you going to be a fair weather Republican? Because that's what a lot of people are, because they're fair weather Republicans. Could this be a mistake? Well, it could be, because I agree with Mr. McGregor on all of the above. But here's the caveat. Do you remember, George Bush? Read my lips.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
This is a read my lips moment.
Here's the thing. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't vote for Jesus to be president. I voted for a man to be president. I look at the 4 years that Trump was in office. We had a good economy. We had a safe country. We had all the things that he had promised to give us. He gave us until we got hit with this blindsided pandemic. And then even with the pandemic, we were pretty good. I mean, for a country that was locked down and wearing masks, the country still chugged along.
All I'm saying is hold to your guns, help Trump, give him the support he needs. You know, speculation on whether he made the wrong move, or maybe he's holding back because he's going to uncover the Democrats. Maybe so, maybe not. You know, it's all hearsay and speculation and, you know, us trying to sit there and be armchair scholars, and we're not.
Well, let's think for a second. If he said don't pass the budget, they would have said he's an obstructionist, Trump.
There was nothing he could do.
Well, I'm just saying, if he came out and said, try to block the budget, they would have said, you're obstructing the budget, you're not doing something for the country, you're being divisive, and you're being intrusive because you're not president, and they would have just gone after him tooth and nail. But by doing what he did, he allowed the Democrats to wear the cloak, own it, as he would say. And I truly believe that it's going to come back to bite them in the rear end, you know.
Well, and but you can't not sit there and say that the Democrats, because you look at all the lawfare that they're trying to throw out there, and everybody says this case has got no merit, but yet everybody knows that the Democrats are going to take it and shove it right up his tuchus.
When we went down, when he went down to when Johnson went down to Mar-a-Lago 2 weeks ago and met with Trump, and they had this kumbaya moment, and they had a press conference together, and Trump said, support this man. And then Johnson went back and then supported this budget, and Trump kind of backed the budget. I can't help but think that it was all done intentionally for a reason that we're not all privy to just yet. So even dare I say, Colonel McGregor, who I have the highest regard for, I think he's the best military observer out there. Go ahead.
You know, you got to look at everything. Do I agree with everything on Trump 100%? No. Do I agree with everything of Biden? Not even 20%. All right? So, you know, sometimes you have to sit there and look at the overall picture and weigh the odds. But one thing that I do know happens, and going back to what I was saying before, is that the Democrats love to conquer, to divide and conquer. And this particular issue, the budget, might be something that they're going, wait a minute, we think we can divide the public Republicans here. We have not split away from Trump. So why don't they take an issue like this and try to turn it that way, you know, which is right at the very heart of the Republicans? Can they split the, can they split Trump? Because once they do, you know,
well, we played yesterday. We played what's his name? Roy, was it Ro Khanna?
Mm-hmm.
We played him, a big leftist Democrat, who said that because Johnson backed the budget, that they were going to support Johnson, making sure that he's not removed from the speakership. So he has the Democrats. I think he's caused some confusion intentionally. Trump has. In Congress, and I do think there's a, you know, this goes to the chess playing that Trump likes to do. I think that he's thinking moves ahead. You know, this situation with the gag order in New York, Trump has evaluated going to jail, and he knows it's a possibility. He has said so.
He knows, too, if he goes to jail, he'll probably die in jail. He knows that, too.
Well, not necessarily, because they haven't.
But it could happen.
They haven't decided to remove. They can't decide that this quickly to remove the Secret Service.
Well,
so they will have to send the Secret Service detail into the prison with him and protect him physically while he's in the cell. They will test his food. They will watch out. They'll just make sure he's protected.
Well, for the time being, but let's, as I like to say, back this bus up here and talk about that Secret Service protection. And what happens? Forget about jail. Let's just say they go, man, we're going to take it away from them. You know, then what does that mean? He is a president with top secret information. You pointed that out, which reminded me of that. He's got that. You know, a lot of nefarious things
happen. They could kidnap him. They could kidnap him. Yeah.
And what does he know that he doesn't have documents for? But he knows. He knows stuff.
Sure. He knows a lot of stuff.
Obama knows
locations.
Stuff.
Yeah. Secret locations.
I mean, Hillary knows stuff. So does, I find it hard to believe, so does Joe and so does Kamala.
And if,
you know,
if Trump gets into office and they've taken away his Secret Service, let's say they take away his Secret Service and he has his own protection detail take care of him, and he makes it to the presidency. Now he's in a position to pull the security from Biden, from Obama, from Clinton. I mean, they're not going to do this to him, Bill. They can't.
Well, you know, pulling the security from any former or present president is a mistake, because what would happen, and he knows that, he wouldn't pull anybody's security. He might say, I'll pull their security. That's just fluffing the wind, because you can't do it because of what they know and the potential of harm that it would have that would be irreversible.
Yeah, I think it's Benny Thompson's, I think he's afraid. Benny Thompson was the chairman of the January 6th committee, probably, in my opinion, one of the most criminal committees ever put together by Congress. I mean, they had a deck that was stacked big time, and they had a phony bunch of witnesses, and they just put one false claim after another out there. And I think all of a sudden Benny Thompson realizes, holy smokes, Trump is he's winning in all the polls. He's winning in all the state primaries. He may actually beat Biden, and then he may actually come after me. I got to get rid of Trump. I mean, this is what I think is going through Benny Thompson's head right now. I think Hillary Clinton has that to a certain extent. She's talking about Trump being a dictator when he gets into office. She fears that he'll be a dictator and he'll put his enemies in jail. No, Hillary, he will put criminals in jail. And if you have been a criminal, then you have something to worry about, I think. You know, I mean, people were amazed in the first term that he didn't put Hillary in jail. You know, they would chant at his rallies, lock her up, and he'd smile. He didn't do it. He didn't do it because he's more of a gentleman than she is a lady. You know, I mean, he used to think, we'll cut him some slack. He doesn't want to put people in prison. He doesn't want to do that. But I think now, after seeing how they've treated him over the last 4 years and how they've treated his friends like Peter Navarro and the like, I think you're going to see a different President Trump when he gets into office. I'm not saying he will run slipshod over everybody, but I do believe he's going to be a tough, just leader. Go ahead.
I think he's going to make sure that he's got the right people, you know, under his umbrella there to make sure that he's got the right intel. As far as Hillary and everybody goes like that, maybe the exception Biden, because Biden has done some things too. I think there should be investigations on Biden, Schumer, Pelosi, and you know, and the crew. You know, but put him in jail. I don't know that he's a put anybody in jail kind of guy. Right now, he's probably thinking about it. Boy, I'd like to hang them up and pull their fingernails out and watch them cry and put ants on them or whatever. But he's not going to do that.
By the way,
he's not that kind of guy.
You got to see. I saw Nancy Pelosi yesterday being interviewed. She looked 20 years younger than she did when she left office.
Well, you know it does that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But you know the thing.
No. It's money. Not spent the way you think. I mean, no. Let's look at Nancy. Does she have insider information? She bought a stock here in the past year that
money,
got $14 million on it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, just pew, like that.
She should get out of Congress and just work in Wall Street. My God.
Well, no, because then she wouldn't have the information to get that.
That's true. But
I mean, you could take a flight and sit next to somebody that's got a patent.
The reason why I mentioned the appearance is I see Hillary one day going into a premiere of a movie.
Looking good.
And she looks 15, 20 years younger. No, she looks younger. I'm serious.
Yeah, she looks younger.
Then I see Nancy Pelosi the next day. My God, she looks much younger. And you know, there's that medicine, I'll say. They call it adrenochrome. You've heard about it, right? A lot of people are shaking their heads. What is adrenochrome? It supposedly is an elixir that is purchased by the wealthy and the elite in our society because it costs a fortune. But they get it from a crop of children. That's where they get this adrenochrome from. Frightened children is actually where they get it from. And, you know, we laugh at this. But, you know, I remind people that throughout history, the villains, the great monsters in our society have been monsters like Dracula. What did Dracula do? He was a vampire. What did vampires do? They drank your blood, and that blood kept them what? Oh, my God, it kept them young, you know? I mean, so it is not something which was made up recently by a bunch of wackos.
Well, do you remember TV, television? Let's go back to the 70s. Was it there was the guy who his blood was the fountain of youth, and all the rich oligarch people were out to get this guy because he was always on the run. They wanted to strap him down, take his blood, and find out what was in it, what, you know, how it was, so that he could never age. I forget.
I can't remember the show, Bill, but it would be an interesting plot for a.
I'll try to look it up while we're talking, but then I'm distracted. But it actually was a show. It wasn't on long. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of different shows, like Run Johnny or Joey Run or something like that. But it was, I'll figure it out here.
Well, you know, usually when there's you hear a story like that, there's at least a thread of truth in it. You know, it's not totally made up, but it's a story that's been passed down by a lot of people. Now, I never paid attention to it, but you have to ask yourself. I mean, I look in the mirror and I see a guy who ages on a regular basis. You know, I have, there's no control over it. I see friends and people that I love who age, and it's just part of life. But then I see some of these rich people with a lot of power and money, and I look at them, and like Pelosi used to disappear for a couple of weeks, come back, and she would look younger. You know, and I would think, how the heck did she do that? You know, it's just not all done with makeup. You know, there's something else here. Skin is smooth, and she looks 20, 25 years younger. And again, if you see Pelosi being interviewed this past week, she had to look like, she's in her 80s, folks, and she looked like she was 55 or 60. I thought, my God. And when you saw Hillary Clinton walking into that premiere, that I think it was a Broadway play, but she walks into this theater and she looked in her late 50s, early 60s too, and she's somebody who is pushing 80. And I think, how do they do this? And by the way, they looked older before. It's not like they've stayed young. They've gotten older, then they've gone off the world stage for a while. They've probably gone for their treatments. They've spent their time, you know, having their facials and drinking their whatever they drink, their elixir of youth. And by the way, they say it's very expensive. They say you have to spend a fortune for this stuff. And but they got the money, folks. You don't feel like Bill said, Nancy Pelosi just made millions on a Wall Street deal that, a lot of people say she got insider information. And that she's done it many, many times before in the past. And, you know, these people go into office, they go into a job that pays them, I think when Pelosi got into office, paid her like $135,000, $140,000 a year. And then I think now it pays maybe $200,000 a year.
$170,000 a year,
yet they live and act like multimillionaires, and they become multimillionaires. And you wonder, how do you do that? You know?
Well, let me tell you something. If you made $170,000 a year, you're going, right. Oh, wow, I can afford this house, I can afford this car, I can afford this food. I'm pretty good. But you don't have money, you know, like everybody else, you're still stretched.
Right.
You're just living in a better lifestyle. But let's say you got $170,000. We give you a car allowance. Matter of fact, you can fly for free. You're going to be chauffeured around and protected. Oh, you know what? You have a grocery allowance, too. You have a lodging allowance, a home allowance. You know, by the time you're done, and then let's not forget about, you know, money that probably comes in through the back door, you know.
Campaign donations
that didn't get spent. Well, we gotta push that money off the books. Okay, push it right into my purse.
I gotta play this for you. This next cut from Doug McGregor, we're talking with Clayton Morris on his podcast, Redacted News, and they were talking about the money to the Ukraine situation. I didn't realize this, but a few days ago, in the middle of the night, they whisked Vladimir Putin to the Kremlin for a very important meeting, an impromptu quick meeting. Apparently, it was an emergency meeting. The word was that the Americans and the French had moved troops into, I think, it's in the Odessa area. Now, McGregor says he has contacts there, and they say there are no troops there. But, well, he has an interesting thing that he mentions at the end of this, I think, about Tom Cotton, which I think you'll be interested in hearing. Listen.
I've been able to confirm through multiple sources that he was rushed to the Kremlin in the middle of the night or early in the morning last night. Why, I have no idea. It was linked, obviously, to this report of U.S. and French troops in Odessa. However, Russians on the ground in Odessa have reported categorically that they have not seen any French or U.S. troops in the city or outside of the city. The French forces are, you know, whatever they are, they're probably foreign legion. They may have some mobile armored elements, but they are largely infantry. The same thing would be true for the 101st Air Mobile. We call it the Airborne Division because of World War II, but it's really a helicopter-borne infantry. They haven't left Romania, as far as we can tell. So, you know, I think that report is false. Now, does that mean that they're not going to do so or it's not under consideration? We have Biden's promise that there will be no U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. But we know we've had lots of U.S. military and intelligence personnel on the ground. They simply haven't been organized into units. If we were to do this and the French were to do so with us, we would end up at war with Russia. So it's an absurdly ridiculous idea. And one wonders what they're trying to accomplish by going into the port city of Odessa. You know, the port's easily blocked, easily mined from the sea approach. And then you're sitting ostensibly on Russia's doorstep. It can move forward and position all of its rocket artillery and tube artillery to utterly pulverize and flatten any of the areas where we might decide to establish ourselves.
Do you think that this is tied in any way to this massive new tranche of money, which was passed on Saturday night?
No, I don't think so, because the Russians have learned how our system works. And this money, most of it is a gift to donors and people inside the United States who have an interest in defense. Now, what do I mean by that? Most of the money will never reach Ukraine. It will be used to replenish existing stocks that have now been emptied into Ukrainian hands. It will pay for things that have yet to be produced by assembly lines. So I don't think the Russians are particularly worried about that. I think that this is another demonstration of the loyalty and fealty of many, many members, to most members, frankly, to their donors. They're waving whatever flag the donor tells them to. And, you know, keep in mind, most of these people on the Hill, they don't know anything about Russia. They know nothing about Ukraine or Eastern Europe. These are all domestic politicians that'll do whatever they think it takes to get reelected. There were only 21 members of the House that voted against the massive funding bill for both, over $90 billion for both Ukraine, Israel, and obviously Taiwan. And they did so because they said, until we've closed our borders and addressed our national security needs and restored the rule of law here at home, we're not sending any more money overseas. And of course, that makes infinite sense. But there were only 21. So I think if you can turn to your research staff, if you've got one, and put them to work to find out who's paying each of these individuals that voted for the bill, what? You know, I'm sure they have all been richly rewarded for their support.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
I remember just a few years ago when President Obama was in power, that Senator Tom Cotton crafted a letter arguing essentially for war with Ukraine, or excuse me, war with Iran. In other words, it was one of these letters that said we need to be more hostile and aggressive towards Iran. The sanctions aren't enough. We need to directly attack them and so forth. He ended up receiving, the day after he circulated that letter, had it signed and brought it to the White House, he ended up receiving $1 million from Bill Kristol's Israeli fund. So I think it's pretty obvious how this works. You say the right things, vote for the right way, and you're going to be wealthy. The problem is it doesn't do us any good. So I think we have a Congress that sort of lives on the Washington version of Epstein Island. It's fantasy world. And they're no longer connected seriously to the people that they were elected to represent. Because I doubt seriously that if you polled the American people, that anybody is rushing to volunteer to fight in Ukraine or the Middle East. I don't see it. And the notion of fighting on Taiwan, that's absurd.
Colonel Douglas McGregor, interesting there about Tom Cotton. Cotton, he writes a strong letter about fighting with Iran, and Bill Kristol's PAC sends him $1 million. And if you think that's the exception to the rule, no. That's the rule right now in D.C. That's why when we look at these people who are running our government and we say, oh, my God, you know, he's a good guy. I know he wouldn't do anything wrong for our country. And then we're surprised when he votes for a budget. You think, well, he voted for that budget. Why did he do that? Many times it's because they're padding their own pockets, you know. By the way, Bill, that...
Oh, yeah, so you looked it up when I did. Yeah, go ahead.
The TV series that my friend here was talking about, I missed it because in 1970 I was... I don't know, probably messing around in radio, trying to make a living.
I was still a kid growing up.
Yeah, you were a young punk.
I was a tiny tot.
It was called The Immortal. It starred Christopher George, Ross Martin, and Mitch Vogel. And listen to this. Let me just read the summation of what it was.
You'll love it.
The Immortal. It's an American television series starring Christopher George as a man whose blood chemistry and resistance to almost all diseases, including old age, makes him both almost immortal and a target of several wealthy men who would basically use him as a personal blood bank. My friends, this was in 1970, 54 years ago.
And what's interesting, because I'm only 55,
he said with a smile. Go ahead.
Anyway, but, you know, actually, that was the follow-up a few years later, about 2 years later. Mm-hmm. What was it? What's the name? Ben Gazzara,
Ben Gazzara, Man on the Run?
Ben Gazzara, yeah. He did Run for Your Life. He did a TV series, which was a great one. I watched in reruns in the 70s as a young kid, maybe about 5 or 6. That, you know, he was an attorney that found out he had 2 years to live. So then, boom, you know, he was running for his life, you know. And the series went for 3 years because I figured they probably thought, wait, he only had 2 years to live. We can get an extra year out of it, and that's probably about it. So, you know, then they had to have.
But you could have called this adrenochrome. You could have called this immortal TV program adrenochrome. Because,
or the Adrena Man.
The Adrena Man, because they're talking about exactly what we're talking about. You know, people are saying that, we could go on and on. People look at stories about adrenochrome and brush them off as nonsense. And that's what I think the people who are involved in it want you to do. You know, Bill, they get it supposedly from they get the adrenaline. That's where the adrenochrome comes from. Supposedly, they get the adrenaline from the blood of frightened children. What are we importing into this country more than we dare say admit? I mean, we're importing children.
Yeah. By the way, I'll just say, you know, because we know a lot of people listen to the show and take things out of it. And if we say something that sounds good, they use it, you know, like, you know, Midnight in America and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's just a recent example. But Adrena Man, that's right off the top of the head.
Yeah.
Our shows, and you see a little note down at the bottom of the webpage where the show comes from, has copyright on it, which means Adrena Man, Jim and I own that, nobody else. So you use it. You can say it in a podcast, but you don't own it, just so you know.
You can shake your head and say there's no such thing as adrenochrome. And I would just, again, point to all these different stories throughout history that talk about how man has for some reason, sought to find a blood that is an elixir, you know? I mean, the Wolfman characters, the Dracula characters, the vampires, all these different things, you know?
You know, you think we're lying, but in the news today, the mainstream news, it's maybe a distraction, and is probably sad on the people that run the economy that want to downsize the population. But what is the real life expectancy of man or woman or humans? Let's just be
well,
that way.
It keeps going up. It has thankfully it's gone up throughout the years. I mean, when I was a kid, I think if you lived into your late 50s, early 60s, that was a pretty good deal.
Well, if you're in your 60s, you'll say, oh, old age doesn't start until 75.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're 75, it doesn't start until you're 85.
That's right.
85 is the new 95. 60. Yeah, and yeah. 95. Well, yeah, no, I think 65 is the new 50 is what they said, and that was a couple of years ago. But, you know, we're always pushing the limits. But science, yeah, you know, say what you will. You know, come see, come saw. But apparently now that they say, you know, we're on track, and right now you can expect that, you know, you live good. Men can live to be 114.1 years of age. So that means that you could put, and look, you know, you look at Betty White. She was going strong, and she was a day short of her 100th birthday, died in her sleep unexpectedly. But she could have pushed on, and I would have told you she was sharp, memory good, in good health, looked vibrant, didn't look like she was a 99-year-old woman. So I was like going, yeah, she could have pushed well into the hundreds. Now, women, a little bit more than men because, you know, women wear down men. We worry about women all the time. So women get, 1.6 years on us, and their life expectancy is 115.7. No, this is not political, but it ties into the adrenochrome and, you know, everything else that's going on that is political. So there you go. That's what you could do, according to the science, right now, today, if you took care of yourself.
Do you know who passed away at age 95 yesterday? Do you remember actor Terry Carter? Terry Carter was a minority, a black actor. Actually, I remember him from the late 60s in the Boston area where he did news anchoring on WBZ Channel 4. He was the first black news anchor in New England, and he was excellent. He went on to do acting. He was in Battlestar Galactica.
I remember him now. I used to watch that with Lauren Green.
He was on McLeod. He played McLeod's boss. He was a real good actor, had a lot of success. He died yesterday. He was 95. He died at his place in New York City and had a good career, had a career that many people would love to have had.
I'm sure that the political landscape of New York is what killed him.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you figure 95. That's
good.
That's a good run. God bless him, you know. But anyway, you know, it's amazing when you read about Betty White, Terry Carter. Dick Van Dyke is pushing 100.
Yeah.
And Dick Van Dyke. And do you know what he's still doing? He's still dancing. Dick Van Dyke is still dancing. He still works on his routines every day.
Now, what's odd, you know, Clint Eastwood is up there, too. He's 93? Upper 90s.
93.
Yeah, he's like that. Now, he said something to the late Toby Keith one time.
Oh, I like
just
this.
About 2 years ago. Toby said, well, how do you do it? Now, Clint is not looking good now because he's foregone his rule. Because his rule to life has always been, since he got into his 70s, Toby said, what are you doing to stay young? And he goes, I never let the old man in.
Yeah.
As you get older, that's the old man or old woman knocking at your door. You don't let him in. You keep on moving.
Well, you know, I look at Clint Eastwood and I think, well, he's still trim. You know, he's still directing movies. He is still at 93 or 94 years old, still directing films. That means he's clear-headed, sharp-minded. It's not easy to direct a movie. You have to have a good, clear brain, you know, to make a cohesive, impressive movie. And he's only getting better.
You know, I met him once. I mean, he's a sharp guy, one of my favorite actors.
Did he disappoint?
Didn't think much of, Well, he didn't think much of me, and I didn't think much of him. I met him in Dallas, a friend of mine, which still around, the guy that wrote the song Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah.
If you remember that song.
Sure, from the movie.
Right. And then there was...
with the orangutan.
With the orangutan.
Yeah.
Anyway, I met him there, but there was another movie that... what didn't meet him there for that particular movie. It was another movie that I met him for. The Electric... he was there when I was for The Electric Horseman, too. But I did the premiere of... I worked with somebody that did movie premieres.
Yeah.
Even though I lived down south at the time, I worked with these people out in Hollywood. So, you know, my catch was... I get to go to all these things, and I loved it. But when I met him, they said, oh, this is Bill Knight from so-and-so and so-and-so. And I was a young punk. I was actually a teenager. Yeah. I have a young punk teen out of high school.
And
didn't go to college, but I wasn't in my 20s. And, you know, I was kind of pompous and, you know, feeling my oats. And he's just like, yeah, and just kind of brushed me on. I thought, yeah, well, same to you, buddy.
Go ahead, punk. Make my day.
Make my day. No, you make my day. No,
you make my
you
day.
Make my day. Okay, we'll make each other's day and get each other a sandwich and a beer. But
oh my
but
God!
But you're buying, Clint.
Well, you know, he's whatever he's doing. He's doing it right. I keep remembering seeing him at one of his. I think he was doing a movie about he was playing a hitman. It was the Iger sanction,
Yeah,
and they showed a picture of him off, you know, when they weren't filming, he would go running in the mountains, literally.
Right.
He'd go running up these huge, steep hills, and this was how he stayed in shape. So the guy had a routine. You know, when you have all the money you need, you can do stuff to take care of yourself. Also. Some of it some of it is genetics too. I have had two knee replacements, so I can tell you that you know, no matter how hard I tried, those knees weren't you know, they had an expiration date on them, so to speak.
Well, knees can have an expiration date, but you know, I'm going to give you the caveat that it's in your mind. It's a mindset. My brother, he's 11 years older than me. All right, and you know, he was the helmsman on a guided missile destroyer that was the escort of, the ship that's famous by name, you know, the Enterprise. But I think the old one that he was.
You're talking about the aircraft carrier.
The aircraft carrier, the Enterprise. But that was the escort. He was the escort on the King. But either way, point is, you know, in his day, he got exposed to Agent Orange. Agent Orange, of course, very cancerous. He did get some cancer. He's, you know, fought that, won it. He ended up having to get hip replacement. He won that. And, you know, again, 11 years older than me, and I'm not old, but I'm not a spring chicken either. And he gets up and he walks 3 or 4 miles a day without a thought to
God
the world.
Bless him.
He's,
you know,
he's still, you know, he's got his teeth. He's got
I just dare to say that when you have bad knees, you can be the strongest guy in the world. If you have bad knees. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's tough.
It has nothing to do with. It's everything to do with genetics. You either are going to have work done on them, or you're going to live in pain. You have two options.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better or go away, unfortunately. I wanted to say another thing that we didn't talk about today, but it's important. It really is important. North Korea did a missile test on Monday, and a missile test. And they said it was a warning to the U.S. and to South Korea, this missile test.
And they're also building, they're on an arms building mission right now. They're building up their Air Force. Obviously, they're fortifying their troops, and they have women as troops, too. And they want to, you know, he looks at himself as the David, and we're the Goliath. A lot of countries look at us as the Goliath. And so it's not a matter of if, it's when we're going to get attacked. Yeah, you know, and we are Goliath. We're big. We're strong. And even with our weakling at the helm, and he has weakened our stance, we have some military might that is just unbelievable. But, you know, with all that might and all that spite, you know, he could still, little guy like Kim Jong-un could kick us right in the right place and we'll drop.
I remember it wasn't a year or two ago that they were talking about North Korea had the ability right now to let off an EMP over our country. An EMP is electromagnetic pulse that would destroy our electronic grid and all of our electronic devices. And
your car wouldn't drive. It was got anything electronic.
It would send us back into the 1800s. You know,
yeah. And we would go way back in the time. Neanderthal.
Exactly. Man. Anyway, if you want to contact us, all you have to do is go to our website, www.itsanotherday.com. Let me do that again. www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. And our phone number is there, and our email's there, and all of our old shows are there. I mean, it's got a potpourri of different things for you to peruse at your leisure.
And
you like that?
Too late now. We didn't talk about any of yesterday's Trump trial with was his name David?
David Pecker.
Who is head of... with a name like that, but apparently he kept a secret file on everybody and everything. And I have a line for that, but we'll save it for tomorrow.
Yes. I'm just glad that his parents didn't name him Richard. Think about that for a second. We don't have to go any further.
That was his brother.
Oh,
anyway. Yeah. You know, and his younger brother. And when that happened, his dad sat there and looked at his mother and said, yeah, his name is Richard. And he said, but hon, hasta la vista, baby. I'm out of here.
This is CRN America.